About their
they expect power within an hour to some parts of Chanhassen, according to the mayor of Chanhassen. That's the latest word we had. We're getting reports from all over various parts of the Twin City, hail falling right now.
All right, apparently the Minneapolis police have a gentleman they have to get a hold of. Minneapolis police have asked WCCO Radio in helping to contact Arland Harley, H-A-R-L-E-I-L-E-Y. Arland Harley asked to call St. Mary's Hospital for an emergency message. That's from Minneapolis Police Department. This is Dick Chapman and Charlie Boone, and this is the Good Neighbor to the Northwest, with studios in Minneapolis and St. Paul at 830 WCCO. If you've joined us late and wonder what in the world is going on, tornadoes, unbelievably severe and unbelievably numerous, ripped out of the spring skies this evening and bracketed the Twin City area. Also some nearby communities such as Norwood and Spring Lake Park. Perhaps others that we have not heard about as yet. As a matter of fact, a severe weather condition still exists for a broad area of Minnesota and Wisconsin. The Twin Cities is included, and numerous heavy hail and wind storms have been reported in the past half hour, still bouncing in and out of the clouds as the severe turbulence moves on a northeasterly path right across this section of Minnesota and Wisconsin.
Getting a lot of calls, Dick, on people trying to locate other people. Apparently, in the storm areas where some people got out and other people didn't get out, and they want to know if they're all right, and it's impossible because of the lack of phone lines and lines that are down and the lack of communication because people can't get into the area by auto or hardly by foot in some areas. And so we'll try later to find some of these people, but right now we just can't. So many names are coming in.
Yes, only official messages are being broadcast, and perhaps they were misled by the fact that we did broadcast a pair of try-to-locate messages, but they both came from official sources, various police authorities or sheriff's authorities in the given location, such as the Minneapolis Police try-to-contact message a few moments ago. This note has been handed me. In a one-block stretch just west of North Memorial Hospital in Robbinsdale, a garage was demolished, a church damaged, and a roof ripped off a house. This is on Chowan Avenue between Lowry and Oakdale. You heard some of the spotty reports. Apparently the damage is on and off again, which would indicate the bouncing effect of a tornado funnel. Up and down they go. And frequently windstorms are the same way. Golden Valley reported some damage. Young fella in North Minneapolis recorded some weird damage.
Power is back on in Chanhassen. Very
okay.
Some calls on people who have relatives passing or coming through from Wisconsin to the Twin City area and wondering how the storm is moving that way. We had no other reports of real severe weather. Of course, the storm system is moving to the east.
That's right. We can only repeat the warning of the Twin Cities Weather Bureau, and they listed these counties as to be alerted for possible severe thunderstorms or tornadoes this evening. And these Wisconsin area counties are Barron, Dunn, Rusk, Chippewa, Polk, St. Croix, Pierce, and Northern Eau Claire counties. That'll include quite a few rather sizable communities in Wisconsin.
Hazel Hun?
Charlie's... got someone on the phone here.
Yeah, I got Walt Hazelhunt on the line, and Walt said he drove through. Where did you drive from, Walt?
Yeah, Charlie, I drove in from Hector, Minnesota, through Glencoe on 212 and then on through on Highway 5. And I crossed the paths of four tornadoes. There was one just this side of Glencoe. There was two around Norwood, one between Waconia and Victoria, and then another one on Highway 7 just east of Christmas Lake that flattened out a park area out there.
What time was this, Walt?
I just came in. I'm out in Hopkins right now at my folks, and I just drove in.
Yeah, what time?
I mean, it was earlier in the evening that you saw the tornadoes.
I didn't see them. I just drove in, and I just saw the paths and the debris of where they went.
Oh, you saw the wake of the tornadoes.
The aftermath. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. I can hardly hear you, Charlie.
Yeah, the aftermath of the tornado you saw.
That's right.
Very good. Well, Walt, how was the traffic when you came in?
Well, the traffic is not bad, but I would suggest that people stay away from out there because there is low power lines, and there's trees, of course, all over the place, you know.
Well, very good. That's Thank true. You, Walt.
You bet.
See?
Another warning to sightseers, especially in the Fridley area. In some of the damaged areas, gas is escaping from broken pipes in houses. So sightseers blocking the streets and highways are endangered, both endangering both the rescue workers and the victims and themselves. Gas is escaping from broken pipes in houses. The official rescue people, workers, have to get in there to take care of not only downed power lines, but now gas pipelines, especially in the Fridley area. Stay away. Here's a bulletin just in. Three persons are now reported killed in tonight's storm at Island Park near the western end of Lake Minnetonka. Police Chief Bernard Winkle says dozens of persons have been trapped in their wrecked homes and the death toll may rise. Winkle's report raises to five the number of confirmed dead in tonight's storm. We gave you two of the earlier victims. Property damage is heavy and continues to mount as reports from at least two dozen communities are coming into Civil Defense Headquarters. Suburbs north and northwest of Minneapolis are particularly hard hit. More than 60 were injured at Spring Lake Park and Moundsview, many in critical condition. Heavy rain and hail preceded the twisters, of course, and continues. Utility lines to a dozen communities north and west of Minneapolis were downed by the powerful winds. State police and civil defense volunteers are barring entry to many of the storm-hit communities, notably Spring Lake Park. One of the injured, Burton Germain of Moundsview, said he and his wife and their one-year-old child huddled in the basement of their home when the twister hit. Said Germain, "Everything I could see started to sway, and then the house lifted off the foundation and was carried away." He said nearly a dozen new homes on his street were destroyed. Bob Tibbetts is here from our WCCO newsroom, and Bob, maybe in a moment you can try to round up the identifications on those three victims. I've got two of them, but I'm missing some others. So we'll get them as quick as we can. The death toll has risen to five now, with that report coming in from Island Park in the Minnetonka area. John Walker, our WCCO radio reporter, has already indicated that he's heading towards Island Park from his last reporting point and should be there any time, and we'll hear from him on that severely hit storm area. The western end of Lake Minnetonka is where it came from. Police Chief Bernard Winkle on that latest report. He says the death toll may rise because people are still trapped.
Harry Peterson of WCCO Radio reported into news just moments ago, reported that practically no damage he can see in the city, downtown in the city of Anoka. And this school closing, Mrs. Philip Brody called the Highcroft Country Day School in Wayzata closed. I'm sure we'll have quite a few school closings from the storm area as the evening gets on, and of course we'll recap all of those for you in the morning. At the Peco plant in Golden Valley, out on Highway 12, part of the roof flew into the parking lot, and windows blown out, one car turned over, so there are isolated points of damage all over our Twin City metro area, and we'll be getting more of those.
Just repeating here the names of the victims that have been identified so far. 79-year-old Mrs. Alma Grindy of Duluth was killed while visiting at the home of her son, Lloyd Grindy, in Spring Lake Park. And 56-year-old Ray Perbix, a Holstein breeder from Norwood, Minnesota, died in a tornado that hit his barn while he was in it. Norwood, of course, is pretty badly hit, 38 miles southwest of Minneapolis. We have mobile units in several locations. Chuck Lilligren is with the WCCO mobile unit heading north towards the heavily damaged areas of Spring Lake Park and Coon Rapids in that direction.
He is there now, we understand.
And he will be ready very shortly, I understand, yes. And we also have had the kind cooperation of some of the gentlemen from KSSM in Shakopee, broadcasting from their mobile unit from the Chanhazen area. And those badly hit areas down there, they're going to try to make it to Norwood and see if they can get a signal in from there. We also have the kind assistance of many, many reporters from all over the region calling in on our federal 99111 lines. Severe hail continues, I understand now, in the western part of Bloomington. This is a new hailstorm that has been bouncing in and out of the Twin City suburbs all evening. They say this hail is the size of golf balls now in western Bloomington, the west portion of Bloomington. That's Minneapolis suburb. We naturally haven't had a
I just got a chance to check with some of the southern areas, and things seem to be in pretty good shape.
Southern Twin City area?
Yeah.
Right. Although we do have some new hail now bouncing around. We just had a report of heavy hail in Bloomington. Now severe hail in northeast Minneapolis, 1-inch size. I assume that's diameter. Northeast Minneapolis already hit by winds earlier, and now a new hailstorm moving in. You can see why the Weather Bureau has not lifted the warning, even though we seem to have had more weather in one night than we've had in 15 years around here.
Somebody was saying the Farmer's Almanac has been pegging this winter and the spring and all the storms, and said that May and early June, they're going to be pretty rough as far as tornadoes are concerned.
I didn't see
that.
Where
do they get all that information?
I don't know, but I know this. The Farmer's Almanac sure missed on their prediction for an early spring.
That's true.
They did.
Nobody said anything about that.
They predicted an early spring and a late fall.
They
so far, they're 50-50.
They really know how to hurt a guy. Highway 100 is now closed at East River Road and at the West River Road.
Yes. Highway 100. Yes. All right. That means that's tough. Boy, there's a lot of traffic handled up there. And this is north of the Twin Cities, right in the heavy damage area. Also, we've been advised that you cannot go into Spring Lake Park from either direction on Highway 10. That, the Highway Department has denied travel into Spring Lake Park on Highway 10. Now, Highway 100 is closed at the East and West River Road. Well, that'd be on the river north of Minneapolis. This is Dick Chapman and Charlie Boone. It's 8 minutes before 11 Central Standard Time. Boy, that means 5 hours of this particular type of coverage in the next few minutes. I didn't realize that it's been that long.
Doesn't seem possible. It's been so fast. We have a lady on the line from Fridley, whose husband said that what was that area that was destroyed? Hello.
Yes.
Yeah. What area?
Holly Center on University of Mississippi Street.
That was.
The new fire station is gone out. The power lines are down across all the supermarkets. A new cafe that just opened about a month ago is gone. National store, the front went in. He was in it.
He was in the store?
Yeah.
Your husband?
Yeah, the front came down. All the cars were damaged that were in front of us because all the superstructure came down. And everything over there is completely gone.
That really was a... got hit very hard.
Oh, Mississippi Street, almost from Holly, almost to Highway 65. All the houses are either damaged or gone.
Is that right? Well, we'll get more reports, too, on that area as they come in. Of course, we have reports on Minnetonka. In fact, we don't have reports on many areas, which will be coming in later. Asked about schools closing. We'll have reports on those first thing in the morning.
You see, there's other schools that were not damaged. The only problem would be the power.
Well,
some of them probably even have power. I don't know, and I have children in grade school yet.
Well, as soon as we get that information, you'll hear it right here on CCO.
Something else, my son is on the track team, and he came back to school. He had left his billfold, and they went in their track uniforms and went to a meet. And he came back, and his clothes and everything is under all this rubble of the gymnasium roof. He came home in his track suit.
Is that right? It's a good thing it's fairly mild.
No, in fact, the police brought him home.
Is that right? Well, thank you for calling.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that information. Boy, that is hard hit.
There's apparently more to come, Charlie, because we have reports of thunder and lightning west of Glencoe, which is considerably west of this damage area.
Possibly another storm system moving in again.
Here's a brand new radar report from the Weather Bureau Airport Twin City Station. The radar at 10:45, that's about 9 minutes ago, shows a broken line of thunderstorms now about 50 miles wide, from the Faribault and Norwood area northeastward to Lake Superior, moving northeastward 35 miles per hour. No hook echoes indicative of tornadoes are apparent, but some may still occur, along with heavy thunderstorms, hail, and strong winds. If the present movement of these storms continues, they will move out of the Twin Cities area about midnight. And if so, an all-clear bulletin will be issued by the Twin Cities Weather Bureau office at that time.
Very good.
The Milwaukee Weather Bureau reports that the severe weather and tornado forecast for northwestern Wisconsin has now expired, and a few locally heavy thunderstorms with hail and strong winds still may occur in the area of northwestern Wisconsin, north of a line from Alma on the Mississippi River to Iron Mountain, Michigan, until about 1 o'clock daylight time tomorrow. That'd be midnight Central Standard Time. A funnel cloud was sighted north of Hudson tonight. St. Croix County Sheriff's Officer at Hudson said a Toyota was sighted by a farmer 6 miles north of the city and last was seen between Holton and Somerset in northwestern St. Croix counties. This corresponds with the gentleman we had on the phone, Charlie, who was sitting in Stillwater looking across the river watching the funnel just about that time.
That's exactly where it went.
Counties surrounding St. Croix County reported no damage, although there were some high winds and thunderstorms. The sheriff's department at Hudson said communications with patrolling squads had been cut off, apparently by lightning. Residents of Hudson and New Richmond had been warned to get off the streets and into basements like the rest of us.
I was just thinking, Dick, during the flood, so many people all across the nation were concerned about people in this area because they heard about the Twin Cities and all the areas were completely underwater. And oftentimes there's misinformation, and with our clear channel signal covering the nation as we do at this hour of the night, we want to let people know exactly what is happening in this Twin City area, that in what parts are concerned and have been hit, so that I'm sure there are a lot of people listening, maybe in Michigan and in New York and California, that are worried about friends and relatives here in the Twin City area. So we'll recap those areas hit by the storm in just a moment.
All right. Probably the most succinct information we've had in the past hour or so is this new radar reading from the Twin City Weather Bureau, which was taken just, 11 minutes ago exactly. At that time, the radar showed a broken line of thunderstorms about 50 miles wide from the Faribault and Norwood area northeastward to Lake Superior and moving northeastward about 35 miles per hour. There are no hook echoes indicative of tornadoes in that reading, but some may still occur, along with heavy thunderstorms, hail, and strong winds. If the present movement of these storms continues, however, they'll move out of the Twin Cities area about midnight. And if so, an all-clear bulletin will be issued by the Twin City Weather Bureau office at that time. So you can see that the activity, perhaps not as severe, but still severe enough, stretches from below the Twin Cities right through it, straight towards Lake Superior, northeast of us. And there is a great section of northern Wisconsin that's still under a heavy thunderstorm warning. Everything in northwest Wisconsin, north of a line from Alma on the Mississippi River to Iron Mountain, Michigan. And that exists until about midnight. Very heavy rain and hail at Bush Lake in Bloomington. That's in the western section of Bloomington. And the hail is said to be the size of golf balls. That is as of right now.
WCCO Radio, of course, continuing through the night, as we always do, Clear Channel Radio. From the station that serves the nation, generally around this time of night from Hobbs House, with studios in Minneapolis, St. Paul, 830. This is WCCO. Awaiting momentarily a report from our mobile unit, which is near Spring Lake Park, with Chuck Lilligren, who will be reporting in momentarily.
Art Johnson, one of the engineers that is out with our mobile people, said it's amazing how easy it is to sight the path of the North Minneapolis and northern suburb tornado. He said from North Minneapolis in the vicinity of Camden, just in an angle towards Wisconsin, it runs right through Minneapolis. I'm looking at a map here, right through Minneapolis, through Fridley, New Brighton, off on that direction, and he says it's just as straight as a string with trees, power lines down. You can see the line of damage as this funnel went along.
Let's recap for everyone right now the storm damage areas from the west moving in across the northern part of the Twin Cities and now into Wisconsin.
This could be amplified, Charlie, but I'll try and do it right off the top of my head here. It appears that we now know of extreme damage at Norwood, which is directly southwest of the Twin Cities. Also at Mound and Island Park
and
on the
Deep Haven
and Navarre on the western end of Lake Minnetonka.
That whole Lake Minnetonka area is concerned.
The whole Lake Minnetonka area is concerned. One of the severe damage areas is at the intersection of Highway 101 and 7. That's at Cottage Grove, just east of Excelsior. That would be on the south section of Minnetonka, so it's hard to pin down the exact bad damage spots because it's in several locations on the lake. Whether this was done by one tornado or several, we don't know. It could have been either because there were more than one this evening all around the Twin Cities. Also, we know that North Minneapolis, Northeast Minneapolis, Fridley, Columbia Heights, Spring Lake Park particularly, and some other north and northwest suburbs have suffered damage of various kinds.
How about one of the areas that was devastated by this tornado and this latest storm. And, Bill, I understand you're the sales representative for the group of houses that many of them destroyed?
This is in Melody Manor in Fridley.
Uh-huh.
It's in the very northern section of Fridley, right on the Spring Lake Park border.
Uh-huh.
And from 73rd and University, the tornado struck down there. And I know I could see in the area. I went in to pick up my children who were safe in my home down the basement. I could see many homes that are completely gone. They're just not even there. Just our foundations are standing there.
Were you there at the time of the storm?
I was not there. Just my children were there. I came in about a half hour after it struck.
Mm-hmm.
And I came past the Fridley Terrace trailer court on 65, and that is in unbelievable condition. It is very, very bad. And if people would stay away from that area, rescue, I would think it would be the best thing possible. It's just, it's unbelievable the area is, and we did get in and out, but by sheer luck, I would say.
Is traffic pretty tough there right now?
I haven't been in the area now for an hour and a half. We immediately left the area and went to some friend's home where we're going to spend the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know. It was getting bad, and if people would just stay away so that operations could go on rescue work.
Yeah, emergency vehicles are having difficulty getting through.
Oh, it's and they must get through because this area is really hard hit, and the area of Spring Lake Park north of the Osborne Road and the Woodcrest School is down, and it's just a real hard hit area. And if people would just stay away at least for a day. It'll still look the same a day from now, I know, and it would at least give the operation a chance to succeed, I hope, and get the injured people out of there. We have with us, if I could make the announcement, Pam Lubeck, and she is safe with us. She was with my daughters tonight visiting.
Hello.
And we took her out of the area, and we have her with us now, if her parents are listening.
Okay, Bill Shaw. Thank you for that report. Dick Chapman's here.
Say, Bill, for the benefit of folks who are not familiar with the Melody Manor area, these homes
yes.
that were demolished, what type homes were they? Were they like...
These were an area of homes from $18,000 to $25,000 or $30,000. They were...
Rambler types? Or?
Oh, well, across the street I had a Rambler and I had a split level, and they're both gone. And... my house, the garage is gone, all of the windows are gone, and I think that's what saved the house. I think the windows completely broke out, and I think that's what kept the house on the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And just all types. A friend of mine has a two-story on a corner, and the upper floor is gone, and all of our trees are stumps now, and it's just...
tragic
you know,
sight.
A car, my boss had a prospect... he was going over a house with, and that man's car is now demolished across the street. Where the house used to be is where the car is now. It's just, it's unbelievable. It really is.
All right, Bill, thank you very much for calling.
You betcha.
The force of nature. I was told that my wife is on the phone, and she apparently is going to report on the hail to Edina. But I can't figure out which phone she's on.
I'll try to find out for you. I finally got through to my house after many, many hours, and the last word I said was, get in the basement. And,
is that right?
And we were busy here.
I wasn't attempting to reach my home, but I figured since we had a sighting of a funnel out there, I'd find out if she could see it, you know. I remember earlier, and then I said, well, if the weather gets bad, give me a ring, and she may be doing it. We have a report of heavy hail in Edina now. Charlie's checking with some of these reports coming in, and the severe weather warning continues. Let me repeat that. They do think that it may expire in within the hour, but at the moment we still have some severe activity in the immediate Twin City area, and the warning is out from the Twin Cities all the way to Lake Superior. It's about a 50-mile-wide band of thunderstorms. Well, actually, from Faribault all the way to the Twin Cities. Chuck Lilligren, I think, is ready to come in. Chuck, where are you?
Dick, we're at Highway 10 and 65. A temporary shelter has been set up here. It's a command post. The gravity of this tornado has been brought home forcefully to those of us here. The injured are being brought in. House-to-house searches are going on at present. We've been asked to please allow them to isolate this area. near Highway 10 and 65, the complete area, to allow these searches to go on. There's no telephone communication, no electricity. It's just a matter of searching through the houses to find people. At the emergency shelter, several wounded have been brought in. They are inside now. People are looking for their relatives. Ambulances are coming and going. It's almost mass production with these ambulances coming and going. Now they're sending them into the Twin Cities. They have to drive across down wires going south on 65, but they're getting these emergency vehicles with the wounded into the Twin Cities because the hospitals here are full. Those that are not quite as seriously injured are being treated here. We've seen huge cattle trucks tipped over. Devastation. We heard of a house being ripped completely apart and being thrown into a swamp with people inside. There are two known fatalities at this area. The injured are just too numerous to count. There's no way of keeping track of the number of injured. We have a message for those people in the Hillview area near New Brighton, which was a major casualty area, one of the worst. Those who are worried about their relatives in the Hillview area near New Brighton may check at the Hillview Apartments. The Hillview Apartments is a clearing center for those concerned about their relatives there. Still bringing in wounded, search parties still out and still being organized to go out. There is enough help here. Please allow them to isolate this area. Now the rain is falling, and that'll be hampering search efforts, but they are searching, bringing in people, as we say, in an almost continual stream. It'll be long, long into tomorrow before it's known how many actual casualties there are from this storm, but it's a serious one. We wonder, Dick, no one has mentioned the late 30s storm in Anoka, the tornado that hit this area, roughly this area, but now that it's built up and now that the population has increased so, it has caused a tremendous amount more damage. Dick, are you still copying us there?
We're there.
Yes, here. Loud and clear.
All right. We mentioned that in our experience, we were talking with Engineer Art Johnson. We don't know of any tornado that ever hit the Twin Cities. I remember in 51, there was a terrible wind that hit both Minneapolis and St. Paul. But with the touching in the Camden area in the Twin Cities, at least in my memory, that's the first that I can hear of a tornado hitting that area. But towards Anoka, there have been some serious tornadoes in the past, much more serious now because of the burgeoning suburban population. Things are bad here, Dick and Charlie, and it's a serious tornado. There are fatalities. There are serious injuries. It's almost enough to defy the power of description.
Very good, Chuck. You stay on the scene, and we'll be with it all night, I fear, hoping to clear up some of the confusion that results after a thing like this.
If we can repeat the one thing when we ask what we can do to help, they say, please, let us isolate this area. Please stay away. Let us get going and get the search done. They don't need anybody out here. If they need emergency help, if they need medical people, they'll be relaying those messages. But they certainly don't need cars getting in the way of these ambulances that are coming and going out here.
Chuck Lilligren reporting from our WCCO mobile unit, and he'll be standing by. We had a call while Chuck was on the air that a power line was down on Blake Road, and at that time the gentleman called, very heavy hail was coming down, and you mentioned that Jurgen walked in and said that the clouds had opened up over the Twin City downtown area.
Yes, he said you couldn't see across the street. It was raining so hard, just thick. The downtown district of Navarre, as you heard John Walker report, was severely damaged tonight when the twister moved through the area. It's reported that 60 to 70% of that business district in Navarre was damaged.
Heavy rain and hail.
About 25% was said to be total destruction, and I think that was the intersection, the famous crossroad there that John Walker was describing, which he said was no longer in existence. The residential district apparently escaped most of the damage, but one home in Navarre was destroyed. However, there were no reports of injuries. We have no damage reported in the community of Anoka, although you heard earlier that almost all of the aircraft at the Anoka airport were ripped to pieces. Apparently, the city itself escaped.
Well, thank you, sir.
It's 11 minutes past 11 Central Standard Time. This is Dick Chapman with Charlie Boone, speaking from WCCO Radio on an evening of tragedy, catastrophe.
Call, Justin. We're having very heavy rain over the Twin City area and now moving over the University of Minnesota area. And as far as wind and hail is concerned, the worst of the evening in that particular area.
We're particularly anxious to hear from John Walker, who was, at last report, trying to reach the Island Park area of Minnetonka. That's on the west end of Minnetonka, where the police chief indicates at least three fatalities, perhaps more. The only advance information we had from the Island Park area was that there were people trapped in the wreckage of their homes, and the rescue work was going on at a feverish pace.
Okay,
and he said three were dead, but he had no identifications. That would raise the death toll so far in the storm to five fatalities, two of which we have been able to identify. 79-year-old Alma Grindy of Duluth, killed in Spring Lake Park where she was visiting, and 56-year-old Ray Purbix of Norwood, killed in his barn when the twister struck at Norwood. The Purbix fatality, he was said to be a rather well-known Holstein breeder at Norwood, Minnesota.
Have a gentleman on the line from Minnetonka who wants to assure people that the South Shore, the entire South Shore, is that right, Bill?
Yeah, that's right, Dick. The entire, I would say, from about Big Island all the way across from Carmen Bay, the entire area wasn't touched at all, miraculously. And, you know, right across is Navarre, which is only three-quarters of a mile. In fact, you could see it. You could see the line snapping with the green lights, but... miraculously, as far as people who have friends and relatives in this area, it wasn't touched at all out here.
You're speaking of the south shore of the lake itself.
The upper lake, right, wasn't touched at all. From Excelsior all the way through.
That's very strange because just a short distance from there, we understand that the cottage wood area was hit pretty hard.
Right, which this would be just west of there. And where we are, you can look right across the lake up on a bluff, and you can see the whole thing forming and developing in the wreck. Hey, the whole area was not touched.
Uh-huh. It's characteristic of a tornado, I guess, to do this. Sometimes they'll take one house and leave the next.
Right, I say, as far as friends and relatives go, there was absolutely no damage at all on the South Shore.
Mm-hmm. How about Excelsior itself? Do you know anything about the community?
No, there were lots of sirens going on, and rather than jam up the highways, I think everybody just kind of sat still, which is what they should do.
All right, yes, you're right. Thank you for calling.
Right.
Thank you, Bill.
That report indicating that the lake homes, at least right on the shore, on the south shore of the upper Minnetonka, were untouched, even though not very far at all from there. The cottagewood area was hit pretty hard.
Dick, here's a message from the Minneapolis police and from the highway patrol as regards the north side of Minneapolis. Starting at 11:30 tonight, tags will be issued to people who cannot prove they belong in the area while driving through. At starting at 11:30 tonight, the Minneapolis police and the highway patrol in the north side area of Minneapolis, and I imagine this is going to apply to other areas where this tornadoes have struck and damage is high, the police will begin to issue tags to people who cannot prove they belong in the area. A civil defense man who was on duty tonight at 50th and Lindale North was struck down by a sightseer. And
you mean in a car?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the report from the Minneapolis police just now is that at 11:30 they'll start issuing tags because they have no other choice. The emergency vehicles have got to get through, and utility trucks and fire trucks.
Also, it is a precaution against, pardon the word, looting, which I don't know why, always seems to follow in the wake of a tragedy like this. That means you have to prove your right to be on the street in this catastrophe area after 11:30 tonight, which is 14 and a half minutes from now. Otherwise, the police will issue arrest tags. We still have more hail and wind around the Twin City region, downtown area, and some of the suburbs reporting hail as recently as 4 or 5 minutes ago. And the Weather Bureau indicates that the storms continue to move on a long, broken line from the Twin Cities, from Faribault, through the Twin Cities, all the way up to Lake Superior, about 35 miles an hour northeastward.
Well, thank you very much.
And that means in about an hour or so, they should blow themselves out. Let's hope so. The Twin City Weather Bureau said about midnight, the Twin City area could be clear, and if at that time that is the case, an all-clear bulletin will be issued by their office.
Nancy Countryman calling in from Groveland, which is in Woodland, which she said was not touched at all, and she had a chance to see some of the area around the Minnetonka area, and she said 101 due north until you get to Grays Bay Bridge is fine, but from that point on, you start to see a lot of the damage. And she made the comment that why does Minnesota have to get hit with floods and tornadoes? And boy, isn't that the truth. But this has been a tough spring, and we hope it doesn't continue into summer. But this time of year, you can expect this kind of weather, I guess.
Charlie, I think we got some good news here for a change. You remember earlier, there was authorities at Anoka and a Mercy Hospital area were looking for a 5-year-old boy from Fridley,
yes.
Timothy Ratcliffe. We're not sure, but we think we've located him. He was found wandering down the street and is now at a duplex basement apartment at 73rd and University, but the phones are down. You cannot call there. A 5-year-old boy is at 73rd and University in a duplex basement apartment, and apparently all right, but you cannot call there. That's just where the boy is now being taken. The persons looking for 5-year-old Timothy Ratcliffe were his father, unable to locate him. Timothy's mother was in North Memorial Hospital, and anyone knowing about the whereabouts of the child was asked to call Mr. Goodman at Walnut 6, 2269. I'm hoping that this broadcast will unite these two messages. One came from police, the other came from the people trying to locate the boy. So maybe we've found the lad. I hope so. Remember now, the Minneapolis police have warned you will have to be able to prove your right to be in the North Minneapolis area, in the damage area, after 11:30 tonight, Central Standard Time, which is less than 12 minutes away.
Have we heard about the Circle Pines area?
No, as a matter of fact, we haven't.
No.
Although it's very close to where all the damage was.
We haven't had any reports from specifically Circle Pines, mm-hmm. so we assume right. that everything is all right there.
True.
Yeah. People traveling through the north side and to the north side, like Highway 8... There will be heavy traffic, but will they be able to get through?
On 35W. Highway 8, which is,
We'll get some reports. It's difficult right now at this early stage to be able to... so many people calling wondering, can I drive here, drive there, and people wanting to get home from the loop and from other areas. And we'll have more detailed information on highways that are open and passable.
Yeah, we do know that they closed here recently, Highway 100, at the River Road on the north end. They also closed Highway 10 on either side of Spring Lake Park. Also, Highway 10 and 65, which would be right in that area, is the command post for the cleanup area, and that's why they've closed Highway 10. Extremely difficult process to get into all the wrecked areas to make sure everybody's out who needs to be taken out. Again, we only have two identifications on fatalities. 79-year-old Mrs. Alma Grindy of Duluth, who happened to be visiting her son Lloyd in Spring Lake Park, and 56-year-old Ray Perbix of Norwood, Minnesota. There are indications that three others have died in the west end of Lake Minnetonka at Island Park, but identifications have not been made available in that location. The police chief was the one who advised us that there were three fatalities there.
Yeah.
Total of five so far to report.
Right.
Hillview Apartments?
Thanks, Duke. Thanks for calling. Okay.
Oh,
Duke Farrell just calling, saying I wish the judge would give him 100 days or $100 sightseers who are unnecessarily in the storm-damaged areas.
Is that right?
Because it's that's tough for people to get through, and for especially emergency vehicles.
Well, this is crisis law enforcement, and you have to do it.
Here's a police report from Excelsior. No damage in Excelsior. The damage in the Christmas Lake area. Houses blown into the swamp, semis turned over, and storm going into Cottage Wood and Deep Haven.
All right, very good. We may sound a little disorganized here, but you better believe it, we are.
We have all sorts of telephone lines coming into our WCCO studios, along with several lines from Master Control to our mobile units. So it's a matter of getting all these straightened out. Howard Viken lives in that area. If we could get through to Howard, then...
Our problem is that it's difficult for us to get out and difficult for people to get in.
That's it, because the telephone
lines are
tied
busy. Right. Again, as well as those sightseeing warnings that we keep issuing, we might repeat that the telephone company has asked people to refrain from making unnecessary telephone calls because of the extremely heavy traffic overloading circuits throughout the Twin Cities area. Maybe it's worth just a complete, a quick rundown of what we know so far of the overall picture that has occurred here in the last...
Is that Chuck Lilligren?
Could be.
Is that Chuck in our mobile unit? No?
No. He's figuring out a way to bring him in, I think. All right. Might be John Walker. No?
No.
Hello?
Hello.
You better find out off the air, Charlie, and I'll keep
going.
I
got no line in.
Oh, it must be
a mobile unit. Yeah. Is this Kano?
No, is this Charlie?
Yes.
Oh, Charlie, this is Bob Potter. We
don't have a phone. Bob Potter,
where are you, Bob?
I'm standing right at the moment, Charlie, in the room where all the firemen have just returned from the Golden Valley Volunteer Fire Department.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, they had quite a bit of damage. Did you have any report on it going by here at all in the Golden Valley area?
You're on the air, Bob.
Well, I have just come back, Charlie, from walking through the Golden Valley area, and I thought I'd stop over here by the fire department and talk to Chief Hanover of the Golden Valley Volunteer Fire Department.
Well, can you give us a report on damage in that area?
I sure can.
All right, very good.
The Heinrich Envelope Company, the whole roof is gone on that building, and there's extensive damage.
Where is that located, Bob?
Well, probably the easiest way to locate all of these buildings is by the Peco Photo Building that's sitting right on the corner of Highway 55 and Douglas Drive.
And that's
extensive damage at that building.
That's very close to Highway 100, the Beltline.
Very close to Highway 100. Starting from that point and then moving northeasterly across the Golden Valley area, Feinberg Meat, the corner of the roof on that building is gone. The firemen report that roughly they think two twisters went through. They were standing in the doorway at one point when one of them went by, and they could actually watch it as it went by. They have several $40,000 and $50,000 homes in the Golden Valley area with the roofs gone. The Copacabana apartment building, the garage on that building, the roof is gone on that. And they probably estimate that the storm as it went through was 6 or 7 blocks wide and extended for quite a distance across Golden Valley. And if you move up to Highway 100, right on the corner of Golden Valley Road, there's a Shell station that many people are familiar with that had quite a group of campers sitting around the outside of it.
Right.
And as it went by there, it just literally scrambled those campers all over the parking lot. And one of the firemen, when he returned back to the hall here this evening, was welcomed by the news that his own camper had been upset by the storm. He lives on Welcome Avenue, and they think that the storm went just about right straight up Welcome Avenue.
Well, very good, Bob Potter.
Does that give you some idea? I hope this will help.
Yes,
you
it does. We appreciate that report, because we heard about the envelope company in near Peco, and and thanks a lot.
Okay.
We appreciate it.
Bye.
Okay. Bob Potter reporting in. How did he get through?
Boy, that was the fanciest hookup I ever saw, I'll tell you that.
He carries his own telephone around.
It's
That's great.
It's 11:25 Central Standard Time, and in 5 minutes, that warning goes into effect in North Minneapolis. Minneapolis police have warned that arrest tags will be issued to all sightseers in the damage area of North Minneapolis and Northeast Minneapolis who cannot prove their right to be there.
Oh, hi, buddy.
So be careful. 5 minutes from now, you cannot go loitering through the damage area of North Minneapolis for the rest of the evening from 11:30 on. And we had a judge jump on the phone and tell us that those people who are convicted can be fined $100 or given 100 days in jail or both.
We're wondering about the Christmas Lake area, and Sandy Sanderson's on the line right now. Sandy, how are things out your way?
Well, we had a bad one, but I think the one we had was the first one around 10 minutes after 6, I think it was.
That's right.
The one that come through Chanhassen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I happened to be outside, and I saw it coming. And I don't know if you know where I live, but it's a big open field off behind. And I watched the whole thing go all the way from Highway 5 all the way to 7, and never did go up in the air. It stayed right on the ground, went right through the Carver Beach area. That's the same one that went to 101 and 7, I believe.
Cottage wood there.
Well, I don't know. I don't think that was the same twister, because I have a house over in Cottagewood that I rent. I went over to check that. The screen porch is off of it, but other than that, that was all right.
Uh-huh.
But the whole west end of Chanhassen got it. It tore the whole end of the town out.
Well, we understand quite a bit of damage around the Christmas Lake area.
Oh, definitely. I heard you mention Howard's house. His is fine.
Okay.
I would buy that, surely. But I think the Christmas Lake, the area that got it, was the east side of the lake.
uh-huh.
just on the very east side of Christmas Lake, and then it went right through on the, actually on the west side of Lotus Lake.
Were there quite a few houses concerned there?
Oh, yeah. There was, I happen to know one party in Chanhassen that has a hardware store there. He has about a $50,000 house, and that was just completely obliterated. And there was quite a few homes right behind the mileage station in Chanhassen, there as you come in on the west side, that were all destroyed.
Right.
That's where the path of it went through, which would have been, from where I live, was about, I'd say 200 yards east of us.
Did it give you much warning, Sandy?
No. I tell you, the only warning I got, I can recall as a kid, the tornado in Anoka, I lived there at the time, and we had all this hail and rain at first, and I heard the noise. More, that was what the first thing I heard was.
Did it sound like a jet or a freight train, as most people say it sounds?
It sounded like 100 semis coming right through the backyard.
Yeah.
And it never once, all the time that I watched it, for a good, I must have watched it 5 minutes, and never once went off the ground. It just kept going right through this woods and right through Carver Beach, and there was trees, houses, everything flying.
Well, we appreciate your calling, Sandy.
Okay, buddy.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Fine.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Sandy Sanderson calling from the Christmas Lake area right there in Excelsior.
I have some new information from our WCCO Radio News Bureau, Charlie. The death toll has now risen to 7 in the entire area, but we only have the identifications of 3, and this is the only new identification that we've broadcast for the first time. 26-year-old Robert E. Clark of Anoka is added to the fatality list, along with 56-year-old Ray Perbix of Norwood, and 79-year-old Alma Grindy of Duluth. Now, here's something from the Minnesota Highway Department just in. Here are the highways known to be closed due to tonight's storm. 10 in Spring Lake Park, Highway 10 at the junction of 65, Highway 12 is closed through Minnetonka, Highway 100 is closed north of the Twin Cities at the East River Road. Many more highways and roads are closed due to either fallen trees or downed power lines. As of yet, there has not been enough time to survey the total effect of tonight's storm on highways. Motorists are strongly urged not to travel at all tonight, especially in the rain, when live power lines and debris are almost impossible to see.
Right before we bring in Chuck Lilligan, I understand he's standing by on our WCCO radio mobile unit at Spring Lake Park. Let's remind you that this tornado coverage coming to you from the station that serves the nation, with studios in Minneapolis and St. Paul at 830 WCCO.